on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
And at 25 to 10, George Ferrucci joins us to go Greyhounds this morning. How are you, George?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm terrific.
Big meeting at the Meadows on Saturday, Sean, with the four semi-finals of the Maturity Classic. We also had the Destini Fireball, where we've seen what people are calling the freak Greyhound Tornado Tears go within a length and a half, I suppose, of the track record. Jeez. There. He's an absolute star. He's won nearly $370,000 in prize money, and he just blew them away with a real masterclass there on Saturday. And we've got a really, really good maturity final, which, of course, kicks off on Saturday night with Dinah Patty, the $2.50 favourite for the Daily Camp. And we've got the likes of Brooke and Jamie Innes with two of their greyhounds in Trit Trit and Baruga Brett. They're some of the leading chances on Saturday night. So we can get into listening to some of the replays, and we'll have a look at and speak to some of the trainers, hopefully, and we'll see if we can put people into a winner.
All right, we might hear the first of the replays now.
And racing, Dinah Patty on the inside, away, fast away, very quickly there. Blue Hunter out wide, and Blue Hunter's going to cross and lead. Dinah Patty will box seat second out of the straight, two lengths away then. Kane Wise, PK and Regazzoni, a length and a half to My Redeemer, well back, followed then by Kinloch Mosk, well out of it, Hasten Sally and Dinah Terror down the back, and Dinah Patty takes over, and the favourite streaked away about three or four clear. Wise, PK to second, followed by Blue Hunter, over to the inside then came Regazzoni, but up the home running, Dinah Patty clear, and went it from Wise PK. My Redeemer making ground for third, then Blue Hunter followed by Hasten Slaley, and then came Kinloch Moss, followed then by Dinah Terror and Regazzoni, and the time is around 29.81.
Tell us about that heat.
Yeah, just a terrific chaser she is, Dinah Patty. Sean, she seems like she's been around for a while, and hopefully we can talk to the Daily Camp about her. She's been a fantastic chaser over a short career, again going the quickest. She went the quickest in the heat and again in the semi-final with another run. She just camped behind the leader and was too strong. That was the second time in her career that she's come up with box one, and she handled it beautifully. She's been dealing with awkward draws for a little while, and I think off box one she was going to be incredibly hard to beat. The tab of marked her down at a $2.50 favourite to win the race, and we've got her trainer on the line, George Daly. G'day, George.
G'day, George. I'm not actually the trainer. I help out.
Wow, you do a lot of the work, George. Just quickly on her, she's just been a superstar to her career, hasn't she? I mean, we can't believe she's only had about 20 races. She seems like she's been around a little bit longer than that, and she's been racing against top company for a long while now, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has. She's a very good bitch. Even when we were bringing out Thailand before she had her first race, when they start racing against good dogs, we figure out whether she's got the ability to go with them. And she...
Georgie, is she the best? Oh, sorry, mate. You're just cutting out a little bit there, mate. Is she the best Fernando Bale offspring you've put a lead on so far?
Her and Hecton, I would say there's much between them. In fact, if you ask me, I'd have to say Hecton's better than her, but he just lacks a touch of early toe, and once he sort them out, he'll be fine again.
Beautiful. And she, as we said in the intro, she hasn't had too much experience off box one. That was only her second time she ever drew it in the semi. There's some pace drawn off the track in this final. How do you see the race panning out?
Yeah, well, that's the thing with her. She's not great over the first 50, 60 metres, so it'll be interesting to see where she is at the first turn, and that'll sum the whole race up. If they leave her alone and she gets through the first turn, okay, she'll have a chance, but if they get across and jam her up, she'll be in trouble. So, but any race, we'll just see what happens when she gets to the first turn.
She can reel off some fast first splits, can't she? And in the heat, she did go 5.04 early. I suppose she can be a little bit hit or miss. Probably wasn't the best away in that Sapphire final, but when she gets it right, she should be able to put herself into a fair position on that first corner.
I just thought she had the average times the first peg, but a astute punter like you, George, would know more about it than what I do. So if you tell me she can run 5.04, we'll let you up to it.
Well, the clock doesn't lie, George, but, mate, congratulations on her short career so far, mate. She's been an absolute star. She's getting closer. This is her fourth group final, I believe, and She hasn't broken through for a Group 1 yet, Victory, but you can just see it coming sooner and sooner with her. Best of luck on Saturday, mate, with Dinah Paddy.
Thanks very much, George.
Good on you, George, down there. Very smart dog.
Yeah, look, she's a star. She's really burst onto the scene as a young dog, and they certainly didn't hide her away from the good dogs. She's been up against some very, very good ones. Probably burst onto the scene a little bit when she beat Poke the Bear in the Speed Star at Sandown. That was an incredible victory there. But really, really nice run on Saturday again, and she's drawn box one in the final. We had another heat coming up. We had heat two as well. Sorry, the semi-final two of the Maturity. If we've got that there, semi-final number two of the Maturity.
Racing and away fast there. Gordon on the inside to lead Aston Duke early. Up and around the outsiders. Black Forge with a surge now towards the lead. Out of the straight was pretty tight up front, getting through. Gordon on the inside, being tested by Aston Duke around the outside. Black Forge not to be denied as chiming in at wide again. Then came Baruga, Bretta Gap in the race there to Hunker Papa coming up the back straight. They tighten up right up here. Gordon went right back to the tail of the field. Into the straight though. It's Aston Duke, the leader, coming down the outside. Baruga Brett hit the lead. Baruga Brett comes away, two and after three, Aston Duke third, Black Forge back on the inside, then came Aeroplane Indy, next thing would have been Orland Baz, followed then by Go Commando, Hunker Papa, Gordet in the time, around 30 and 53.
Yeah, 30 and 53. That time actually was amended to 30 and 31. Not sure what happened to the semaphore there. But Baruga Brett, it was a real ding-dong battle, this, between Aston Duke and Black Forge, two greyhounds that people from New South Wales would certainly be over the top of. Aston Duke and Black Forge both starting their careers there. And Black Forge, of course, will head his way back to New South Wales, I'd suggest, after that for the National Series. But Baruga Brett was absolutely outstanding. He gutsed it out beautifully. And that was the first of two winners for Brooke Ennis, and she also had Trit go around in a later heat.
Might have listened to that now.
Racing, Austin Allen out fast on the inside, speed there from Chief's Empire. Austin Allen's going to hold out Chief's Empire early. Three lengths away then came Jackie Shishodi third. Over to the inside then Dinah Zesty, followed then by Undisputed. Well back Dinah Chancer, followed by Ella Enchanted. It's a long second last and tail off there, Aston Ninja coming off the back straight, and it's all Austin Allen. Austin Allen shot clear, six lengths in front, Chief's Empire, followed by Jackie Shishodi, then Dinah Zesty, a big gap to the others, but up the home running. Austin Allen wins by about four lengths. Second spot again to Chiefs Empire, tight for third, Jackie Shishodi or Dinah Zesty. They were followed by Dinah Chancer and Undisputed, followed further back by Ella Enchanted and also Aston Ninja. And the time there is a great run, 29
30.
Yes, that was Austin Allen's replay actually there. But Brooke, we've got you on the line.
Yes, hi George.
How are you? First of all, congratulations on getting through to the final. It must be a big thrill to get both these boys through.
Yeah, it is. You know, we've obviously planned them, you know, to have a prep to make the maturity heat. But yeah, it's always nice when you have get them through anyway.
Baruga Brett, look, it was a real good battle with Aston Duke and Black Forge. You are two accomplished greyhounds, of course. They've made a number of group finals. Not only did he guts it out, he sort of ended up winning, running away from him. He must have been wrapped with his run.
Yeah, I was stoked with his run. He came out the boxes and he didn't really have a lot of room to move, and, you know, he was quite squished going right through the first turn, and you know, if he had have pulled out and tried to get in behind him, it probably would have been acceptable. I thought he was really brave, and he kept pushing and he pushed the whole way through, and it's good to see him be brave and run on the way he did.
Just the box draw for the final, Brooke, we had George Daly on the phone. Just a little bit worried, I suppose, with Dinah Paddy drawn box one and the speed drawn on the outside. Is box draw a little bit tricky?
Yeah, I think it is. I think you've pretty summed it up pretty well, Mary. Even if he comes out midfield, he might get crushed and sucked back through the field. But it's not ideal, but at least he's there.
And your other winner, Trit, absolutely flopped out of the boxes but showed what he can do. He had a super run home. It must be an extra thrill for you, considering he's by your former champ, My Bro Fabio.
Yeah, I don't want to see him running 5:40s this week, that's for sure. It was a little bit disappointing, but yeah, in the end it worked out well for him, and I thought his strength would definitely help him in that field, and it didn't. It paid off, but to have a dog that we raced and now it's stud inside to Trit, it is all very exciting. But hopefully he can come out a little bit better and you know, just hold the fence and use his strength again.
Not sure if you're aware of his record from box two, Trit there, Brooke. He's had seven starts off it for five wins, a second and a third. So maybe that gives you a little bit more confidence going into this final.
Yeah, fingers crossed. He definitely wants a fence and, you know, hopefully uses it to his favour. But again, Dinah Paddy, she's a good bitch and, you know, hopefully she can get out in front of him. He can just get behind. But, no, look, we're happy to have box two. It's probably better than box eight for him anyway.
Just on Mibro Fabio, obviously you train a few of the Mibro Fabio progeny and you've got some pretty smart ones in your kennel. Are you happy where he's tracking as a sire?
Look, I don't... As a sire, I think he tends to just throw what he was, you know, essentially. You know, they do lack a bit of pace and they have a little bit of strength. But, you know, these days, I don't think he can... throw those kind of dogs. You really need to have the pace. But we've been very fortunate that people have used him. And you never know, to have them make group races is always a thrill and good for him anyway. But, you know, you can't expect him to throw dogs that he was, you know, as such either. He was such a big, strong and quick dog that, you know, you can't forgive him if he doesn't throw dogs.
I remember, I don't think we forget his race career. He was an absolute star, wasn't he? He'd give dogs a start and blow them away late. He was a terrific greyhound. Brooke, best of luck on Saturday night. We'll see you out there. You've got two very, very good greyhounds. Of course, it's a tough race, but you'll be in there fighting.
No worries. Thanks, John.
That's Brooke Ennis there, Sean. She's got two in, and as we said, one of them by Mibro Fabio, who won a couple of group races. He was a terrific greyhound, Mibro Fabio, and yeah, I think they're certainly getting a thrill. They've got a very good young team, Jamie and Brooke Ennis, a few of them by Mibro Fabio, who we said is just kicking some goals as a sire. We just heard the heat there of Orson Allen, so we won't repeat that again, but this is a young greyhound who trained by Corey Grenfell, who's had the 15 starts for 9 wins, started his career at the Meadows and ran 29.81, Sean, as a young greyhound, which is absolutely unbelievable. And he really hasn't put a foot wrong. And I think he sort of burst out of the scene with a really good run in the Bendigo Cup final there a couple of weeks ago. This is a bit of a step up for him, but he, as we said, he's been brilliant in his heat and semi-final effort by an American sire called Casey and All, who's kicking some goals as well. And Corey's had a really, really good time of it this year. He's had some very good greyhounds like Dinah Chancer and co. And this is probably... his biggest chance to win a Group 1 race, Orson Allen. That was one of the heats, yeah.
It's interesting, some dogs like that, you'll see them pull out a good run, but they don't really improve that much. They sort of plateau, don't they? With some, just keep going on.
Yeah, look, he really had no place to go, this greyhound, from running so quick early as a 29.81 victory on debut. But as we said, he's only a young greyhound, winning 9 from 15. He's got drawn box 6 in the final. That's going to be a little bit of a worry. He's around $6 here, Sean, from box 6. We did mention, and we've spoken to the other two guests, there's a lot of speed in this race from the wide draws, 6, 7 and 8. Orson Allen in 6, Chiefs Empire in 7, Aster Duke in 8. They all show a little bit of speed. Orson Allen's going to get the start, has to get the start right, and if he can do that, he's going to be incredibly hard to beat. I think he'll be one of the main chances in this. We'll just go through the box draw quickly. $100,000 to the winner, Sean, this final. Dinah Paddy off box 1 for $2.50 for Team Daily. Number 2, Trit. We just spoke to trainer Brooke Innes at $4. Wise Peak A at $8. Beruga Brett at $8. Cavatron at $16. Orson Allen at $6. Chiefs Empire at $6. And Aston Duke at $6. $100,000 the winner on Saturday. We also had another group final there on Saturday, Sean, the running of the Group 3 Destiny Fireball. And it was the anticipated clash between the two freak brothers in Rip and Sam and Tornado Tears. And I think we've got that replay now of that final from Saturday night.
And racing, and Tornado Tears away very smartly indeed, and the favourite's going to step straight to the lead, settling down. It's Tornado Tears leading by Too Early, over Out of Range second, followed then by Flying Flyer third, over on the inside Rockstar Patriot, followed then by Billy's Mate, Hot Tipper, then came Rip and Sam, at last Shay's Intention out of the straight though, and Tornado Tears the leader, raced away in the lead, it's Tornado Tears going clear, by 6 down the back, Rockstar Patriot, followed by Billy's Mate, then Flying Flyer, followed by Rip and Sam, and then came Hot Tipper. tip and out of range coming up the back straight though. Toledo Tears has been there from the outset. It's 10 lengths in front turning for home. Oh, very exciting stay here. Toledo Tears is going to absolutely toy with the opposition and puts them by 10. Getting through Billy's Bake second, I'd say, from Rockstar Patriot. Ripping Sam further back here. Rockstar Patriot then came Flying Fire and near the tail, Hot Tip and Company with out of range. And the time showing at 42.02.
What an impressive performance there by Toledo Tears. An incredible time too. The track record there is 41.93, ran 42.01. And I think we've got his trainer on the line, Robbie Britton. Good morning, Rob.
Good day, George.
Rob, what an amazing performance. I think he went around at around the $1.70 mark, $1.60, and I suppose he would have been a little bit shorter. I think maybe people were worried that was his first go at the Meadows, and his brother's record at the track was outstanding, but he put Pay 20 down after about 10 metres, didn't he?
He really did, yeah. Look, I was a little bit worried, to tell you the truth, because we didn't have time to trial him and at the Meadows, and when he went to Brisbane, and he showed that he needed a look at a track, but he certainly came out running the other night, and that made all the difference.
Rob, in the last 5 years, you've had dogs that have really dominated the staying ranks at the Meadows. I mean, of course, we fresh in our minds is Fan of Bale, but before that, Nellie Noodles in 2012 held the track record at 42.03. Then you had Space Star running 41.91, which is the current track record, and now Toledo at 42.01. You must pinch yourself when people reel off names like that.
Yeah, been very lucky, George. I think, you know, there's no fluke to it. I think the fact that most of them are the one line, they're all the Ivers yep. line, and, you know, like, to be quite honest, they just continually breed stayers that can genuinely stay and run time. So I've been very lucky to be involved with it.
Well, I still rate Space Star as probably one of the best I've seen over the staying journey, Robbie. He really never really had a weak spot in his racing. When he jumped to the front, he'd blow greyhounds away. And this dog certainly races similar. Is there much between them ability-wise, or is no. Toledo Tears just a touch above him now?
No, I think they're very, very much the same. Their racing style is very similar. They can come from behind. They can lead. And they run similar times on the clock. So, you know, I'm tipping this bloke will get very close to the record if he can stay sound, and we get into the summer months where the track's usually a little bit quicker. But in saying, you know, like, it's very hard to compare between eras, but their style of racing so close that, you know, it's really throwing a clone, I think.
Are you finding that he's recovering better after his 700-metre runs, Rob? Because we seen him on the dais as handler Peter Riley accepted the cheque and the trophy, and the greyhound certainly wasn't puffing hard. He didn't really worry about too much when he was up there. He seems a pretty laid-back kind of dog.
Yeah, certainly is. His first staying event, and maybe his second one, it took him 2 to 3 weeks to recover and get over it, but he's seasoned to it now, and he's great that way. I've got no issues with him whatsoever, stamina-wise. I think he's got stronger over his staying career, and now he's sort of, you know, he seems to take 1 or 2 days and he's back to his best.
You mentioned that the dam line from the Ivers family, of course, has produced some very, very good stayers, but there's also an American influence here, is there? Of course, Fernando Bale's sire, Calso's Fusilier, is an American dog, and there's a Kiowa Sweet Tray in this dam line as well. We've had so many great Irish influences, I suppose, and if you go back 10 or 20 years, if breeders wanted an import, that's probably the continent they headed to, Europe. Do you think the American influence now is greater than what we've seen with the Irish stuff from 10 or 20 years ago?
Well, I don't know whether it's greater, George, but it certainly throws a toughness into your dogs, and clearly they can run, they all run 500 plus, which is a real bonus, because, you know, look, if you can't run 500 metres, you can't race in the city. So that's the first thing I look at. But look, they throw a toughness into them. You look at Fanta Bale, she went through bulletproof all her life, and most of the Ivers dogs are very, very similar. But I think it's the key to it, the fact that it's not just one thing. Breeding is one thing, but it's the rearing and the rest of it. So you can't have a weak link in the chain. But I do think they we cross very well with the American line.
It was sort of never thought of that way, wasn't it, 10 or 15 years ago? As we said, it's sort of the Irish dogs were the ones they went for, but it's certainly gone the other way now. And as you mentioned, Fanta Bale, who was out of a dam that you raced down here, who certainly wasn't a world beater, but as you said, coming back to the colonial size, it seems to work tenfold.
Yeah, I think it does. It's just, look, it's like anything, it's easy to say after the fact, but I think it's starting to show through now that, as you say, 10 or 15 years ago, there was this perception that their dogs were dour but slow. But in reality, they run on much, much softer tracks. The people were just comparing times, and they're seeing 520-metre dogs run around over there in 32 seconds. So they said, oh, they've got to be slow. But believe me, if our dogs ran on their tracks, they'd be running 32 seconds as well.
Of course, we've got the Nationals coming up. So both brothers, how have they pulled up? Rip and Sam, of course, ran fourth in the race, and Tornado Tears, if they both pulled up well, heading for a Nationals campaign?
Yes and no. Sam's great. We've got no problems with him. Tornado Tears, he had a little bit of an incident in the catching pen on Saturday night, so we've just got to nurse him through. He won't have. I was planning to have a trial next Saturday morning, but that'll be out. But I sort of think that we'll probably be right by the Thursday night. But we've got a little issue to work on where I don't know what he's done, but he's got a great big bruise right down his leg and scraped a scrape mark. But again, I walked in this morning and I've got no issues. I think it's only bruising, and I think he'll get over it.
Well, best of luck with getting them fit, Rob. Congratulations again with Tornado Tears. We've only seen him for 20-odd starts, but he's certainly making the greyhound world sit up and take notice. Best of luck with them for the next year.
Thanks, George.
Robbie Britton there, Sean, with another incredible greyhound. As we said, Rob pointed out, a lot of the good stays he's had have come from the same dam line, which produced these freakish stayers, which go on and on. And he just blew them away as the race went on, that greyhound. And as we said, nearly broke the track record in running. Hopefully he pulls up very well from that run. As we heard, some bruising there, a slight concern, but hopefully we get to see the two brothers in the National Distance Championship.
Sounds exciting. When you see a good stayer, there's nothing better, is it?
No, there isn't. And it's good to hear Rob say that, because sometimes we think we're mug punters. I thought at $1.70 it might have been a bit of a risk, because he hadn't had a start at the Meadows. That dog hadn't even had a trial from what Rob said, but he jumped to the front and it didn't really matter. He blew them away, and yeah, look, he's an exciting dog. He continues to get better. There was that perception early in his career, Sean, that he wasn't pulling up well over the 700 metres and it took him a while to recover, but it sounds now that he's getting more seasoned, and I think that's a little bit of a worry for his competitors.
Yeah.
Because there's really no chink in his armour, I think, these days.
It's lovely when they come along like a Miata. You get one of those dogs, don't you? You look forward to every race.
We've had some champion stayers over the last five or so years. Miata, Sweet It Is, these type of dogs. Fanta Bale, of course, who broke the prize money record. And now Rob has a greyhound that many greyhound pundits say will be the next million-dollar greyhound in the sport.
And you look back to Norm and Boltrice. What a great dog.
Boltrice, something that I don't think any of these current stayers will be able to do, win four Sandown Cups.
Unbelievable.
It's incredible. It's just one of those things that I just don't think can be done again.
The longevity. Well, and you're talking about greyhounds with longevity. I had a look to see whether he's racing today. He's not. Over New Zealand, Wheelchair Norm. What a greyhound he is.
Well, how many wins has he had?
I reckon he's on 90 or 91.
Yeah.
And he's done about 194 starts. He's not far off 200 starts. And not far off the 100 wins.
Yeah, look, it's something that I think some greyhounds are just really good at doing, their longevity. And we heard Rob speak about that. That's one of the things with the American dogs. He spoke about their toughness. Mm. It's not rare for them to have 150, 160 starts. We don't have too many greyhounds getting to even 100 here in Australia. So that might be something that starts to happen a little bit more regularly as we go forward.
And I notice old Norm over there in New Zealand, he's going over the short all the time. You know.
Well, that's it. Yep. It's just, you know, he's not running marathons, is he? He scampers around that first corner and they can't catch him. Norma, they even had that greyhound Swimming Goat, didn't they, who won I don't know how many in a row at the end. I mean, he was a terrific greyhound for a long time. The New Zealanders going okay.
Yep, too right. George, good to catch up. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
George Frugier, going greyhounds on Sky Sports Radio.